Now the reading this morning is Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought them Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, "I have become an alien in a foreign land." And the other son was named Eleazar, for he said, "My father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the desert, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians." He said, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians." Verse 11, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as a judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as a judge while all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands you, you will be able to stand for the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. This is the word of God.
Well, let's turn back to Exodus chapter 18. Now, most of us here are not Jewish people. Most of us are Gentiles. For the younger ones here, that means that we're not Jews. The Jews were God's special people. God chose the Jewish people And the nation he made them into was called the nation of Israel. And they were God's special nation. And God made promises to their ancestors, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we've seen, as we've been looking at Exodus, how God rescued his special people, Israel, from Egypt. And in the next chapter, we'll see how God gave his special people, Israel, his law. And he committed himself to being their God. And they would be his people. So, to be a member of the people of Israel was a very great privilege. And most of us, if not all of us here this morning, are not Jewish people. We don't belong to the people of Israel. We're Gentiles. And this is how Paul describes Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, Gentiles were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So that's what Gentiles were like, according to the Apostle Paul, and most of us here are Gentiles. But you know, we've just been reading from what we call the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is the Jewish scriptures, the scriptures of Israel. The Old Testament was Israel's Bible, is Israel's Bible. We've just been reading it. It's now part of our scriptures. It's now part of our Bible. In fact, it's the major part of our Bible, actually. About three quarters of our Bible. And the God we've been reading about in the Old Testament scriptures is the God of Israel. Yahweh. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he's the God we've been praying to this morning. And he's the God we've been praising. So we're Gentiles who have come to believe in the God of Israel. And we've come to believe in the King of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Gentile converts to the God of Israel. We're not Jews, physically descended from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but we've become part of Israel. And therefore there's a sense in which Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are now our ancestors, our fathers. If you take British citizenship, then you enter into all the privileges of being British, such as they are. And British history becomes your history. You're a citizen of Britain. You've got British citizenship. So British history is your history. And you want to find out as much as you can about it. And we, Gentiles, not physically descended from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, we have become worshippers of the God of Israel. Reading Israel's scriptures and serving Israel's King, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've become part of Israel. And this morning, I want to look with you at the first Gentile convert to Israel. At least it's the first one we know about. And his name was Jethro. So Jethro is a good name to have. And he was from Midian. In fact, it says that he was the priest of Midian. He wasn't a worshipper of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He was the priest of Midian. Now, you remember that Moses had to flee to Midian from Egypt. And while he was in Midian, he met Jethro. And he looked after Jethro's sheep for 40 years. And he actually married Jethro's daughter, Zipporah. And they had two children. And God called Moses to go to Egypt, as we've seen, as we've been looking through Exodus, and he called Moses to go to Egypt and confront Pharaoh and command Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go. He began by taking his wife and his two children with him, but I think he must have thought better of it because it says that he sent them back to Jethro. Maybe it was just too dangerous for his wife and his two children. But now, the immediate danger is over. Israel, as we've seen, have escaped from Egypt. The Egyptian armies that pursued them have been swallowed up in the Red Sea. At the end of chapter 17, you read about how the Amalekites were defeated. And now the people of Israel are at Mount Sinai. Now, I actually think the event we're reading about happened after the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 1, you'll find that it was given after the... It happened after the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And so the danger is over now. Israel has arrived at Sinai. Probably when this incident happened, actually the tabernacle had been built and sacrifices were being offered. And Jethro turns up with Moses' wife and children. And there's a family reunion at Sinai. Now, we're told that Jethro heard about what God had done for Israel. Verse 1, Jethro, the priest of Midian and the father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. So Jethro heard about what God had done for Israel. After he arrived with Moses' wife and children, Moses had much more to tell him. He could go into much more detail. Look at verses 7 and 8. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. They went into the tent for a good long chat. And Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. So Moses, there in the tent, with his father-in-law, was able to fill Jethro in on all the great things that God had done for Israel, and how that God had saved Israel. Jethro heard this amazing story, the story we've been reading about on these last few Sunday mornings, the story of the Exodus, the great things that God had done for Israel. And not only did he believe what Moses told him, we read in verse 9 that he was delighted. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them, saving them from the hand of the Egyptians. He was thrilled by what he'd heard. He rejoiced. He was delighted in the salvation that God had provided for his people Israel. But there was much more to it than that. He wasn't just pleased. He could have been pleased and remained just an interested onlooker, just a supporter of the people of Israel. But no, he went further than that. And he decided he wanted to be part of this. And he himself became a worshipper of the God of Israel. Remember, he was the priest of Midian. But he became a worshipper of the God of Israel. Look at verse 10. He said, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians." He praised God, he worshipped God, and he confesses God, verse 11, he confesses God as the one true God. He confesses Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, as the one true God, verse 11. "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." So he not only believes, he not only rejoices, he's not only delighted, he actually wants to be in on this. And he praises the God of Israel, and he confesses the God of Israel to be the one true God. And you know, he went further still. Look at verse 12. Then Jethro, remember who he was? He was the priest of Midian. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. He brought a burnt offering to the God of Israel. The priest of Midian. He was used to offering sacrifices to other gods. But he brought a burnt offering to the God of Israel. Now a burnt offering, there was different kind of offerings that God told the Israelites to bring. But the burnt offering was the one that spoke of absolute total commitment, absolute total dedication. The thing about the burnt offering was that the whole animal, apart from the hide, which the priest had, but apart from the hide, the whole animal was offered up on the sacrifice to God, offered up on the altar to God. The complete beast went up to God as a sacrifice. And that signified complete, total commitment, complete, total dedication. And Jethro brought a burnt offering to the God of Israel. And he also brought other sacrifices, probably a sin offering to cover his sins, and then the peace offerings, which was the third kind of offering that they used to bring, which they used to eat part of themselves. They used to offer some of it to God, some of it to the priests, and eat part of it themselves. And that meant that everything was all right now. They were back in fellowship with God. The sin offering had been offered, the burnt offering had been offered, and now they offered their peace offerings, and they shared the peace offering together. Okay, so Jethro offered sacrifices to the God of Israel. And how did Moses and Aaron respond? Look at the end of verse 12. Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with God's father, with Moses' father-in-law, in the presence of God. Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. And that means that he was fully accepted. He was fully accepted into the people of God. He was now part of Israel. Moses, Aaron, the elders of Israel, eating bread with Jethro, the priest of Midian, in the presence of God. Now, do you know, I think that's a lovely chapter. I hope you do as well. I didn't realize what a lovely chapter this was. When I've preached on this chapter in the past, I've focused particularly on the second half. You know, the bit about elders and so on. And, I've missed this. I hadn't realized what a tremendous 12 verses, these first 12 verses of Exodus chapter 18 are. Here is a Gentile, the priest of Midian, and he hears about the great things that God has done for Israel. He hears about the salvation that God has provided for Israel. He believes. He rejoices. He worships. He brings sacrifices to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he is received into Israel alongside Moses and Aaron as a full member of the community. Jethro was the first Gentile convert to Israel. And you know, he was the first of millions. He was the first of millions. You find some of them in the Old Testament. People like Rahab. Rahab was a Canaanite. She was from the city of Jericho that the Israelite armies destroyed. But they didn't destroy Rahab. Because earlier, when they'd sent spies into the land of Canaan, Rahab had hidden the spies and protected them. And she said, look, I know that Yahweh is the one true God. I know that he's chosen the people of Israel. I know he's going to give Jericho and the land of Canaan into your hand. And I want to be part of it. And you remember the story of how she tied a red ribbon to the window of her house, so that when the Israelite armies came into Jericho, they would see that red ribbon and they would know that they weren't to touch that house. And they welcomed her into Israel. And you know what? Rahab is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Rahab is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Then there was Ruth. Ruth was from Moab. But she married a Jewish man who had emigrated to Moab because of famine. Her husband died. She could have stayed in Moab. But no, she went with her mother-in-law, her Jewish mother-in-law, Naomi, back to the land of Israel. And Naomi said on the borders of Israel, look, you don't have to come with me. You don't know what sort of reception you'll get. You're not an Israelite. You are a Moabitess. You don't have to come with me now. Go back to your own people. And Ruth said, no, your God will be my God. And your people will be my people. I want to be part of this. I want to be part of what's going on in Israel. I'm not descended from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But I want to be part of it. I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people. And then there was a Syrian called Naaman. He was actually the captain of the Syrian army. And he got leprosy. And nobody in Syria could cure him. And his little Hebrew maid said, look, there's a guy, I know a man who can. There's a man, he's a prophet, in Israel called Elisha. You go find him. He'll sort you out. So he went and he found Elisha. And Elisha did sort him out. We haven't time to go into the whole story this morning. But Naaman became a worshipper of the God of Israel. The captain of the Syrian army became a worshipper of the God of Israel. Oh, incidentally, I forgot to tell you that Ruth also is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And there are references in the Old Testament law to aliens, as they're called, non-Jews, Gentiles, coming into the people of Israel, and how they are to be welcomed to the Passover meal, and so on. So Jethro was the first of a small number in the Old Testament who were Gentiles who became part of the people of Israel. But that small number was to become millions. And we shouldn't be surprised by this. What did God say at the very beginning when he chose Abraham? He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your offspring, which became the people of Israel. And I'm going to bless through your offspring all the nations of the world. All the nations of the world are going to be blessed through your offspring, Israel. So Israel's privileges, Israel's blessings were never meant to be just for Israel alone. The idea always was from the beginning that Israel would be a holy nation, and by being holy she would be a light to the nations, to other nations, a light to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles would be attracted to the God of Israel. And the Old Testament prophets look forward to a time in the future when this will happen on a much larger scale, when the Gentile nations will come to the worship, will come to worship the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, when the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, not just on Israel, but on all mankind. And all mankind, all the nations of the world, will come to be worshippers of the God of Israel. You know, one of the most remarkable passages, and I want you to read it with me, now, because it's not a passage that's read very often. In fact, I guess that most of you won't even know it's in the Bible. Turn to Isaiah chapter 19. Isaiah chapter 19. Page 703 in the Church Bible. When Isaiah prophesied, there were two great enemies of the people of Israel. And the first one was Egypt, and the other one was the great empire of Assyria. Babylonia was still in the future. The two great enemies of the people of Israel were Egypt and Assyria. Egypt to the south, Assyria to the north and east. And Israel were caught between these two great empires. Now what do we read in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 19? Isaiah 19, 19. In that day there will be an altar to the Lord, an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt, and a monument to the Lord at its border. It will be a sign and witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt. When they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressors, this is Egypt crying out to the Lord because of their oppressors, he will send them a saviour and defender, and he will rescue them. So the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and in that day they will acknowledge the Lord. They will worship with sacrifices and grain offerings. They will make vows to the Lord and keep them. The Lord will strike Egypt with a plague. He will strike them and heal them. They will turn to the Lord and he will respond to their pleas and heal them. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians will go to Egypt and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and the Assyrians will worship together. In that day Israel will be the third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth. The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, "Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance." Did you know that passage was in the Bible? Egypt and Assyria, my people, my inheritance, worshipping the God of Israel. You see, Moses told Jethro all that God had done for Israel and about the salvation he had provided for Israel. And we know, because we've been looking at Exodus together on these last few Sunday mornings, we know that what God did for Israel in the book of Exodus is a pale foreshadowing of a much greater Exodus, a much greater salvation, a much greater thing that God was to do for Israel in the future. We've seen that Jesus is actually Israel's real Passover lamb. Jesus is the pillar of light that guides us through the guides Israel through the wilderness of this world. Jesus is the manna that God sent from heaven to feed his people Israel. Jesus is the rock from which the water of the Holy Spirit flows to Israel. Jesus is the victory. Remember that great victory at the Red Sea over all the forces of Egypt? Jesus won that great victory for Israel at the cross of Calvary and at the empty tomb. What marvelous things the Lord has done for Israel through Jesus Christ, the King of Israel, the Messiah of Israel, through his death and through his resurrection. And in Jeremiah predicts a time when there will be a new covenant with the people of Israel. A new covenant with the people of Israel. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more, and so on. And we Gentiles, like Jethro, have got to hear about it all. We've got to hear about it all. In fact, Jesus, the King of Israel, made sure that Gentiles would hear about it all. Because his final command to his Jewish church, his Israel, the true Israel, those Jews who accepted their King, Jesus, are the true Israel. And Jesus' command to his Jewish church, the true Israel, was that they should go to the ends of the earth and be his witnesses. God wants Gentiles to hear about this and to be part of this too. And like Jethro, we have heard. And like Jethro, we rejoice. We rejoice. We are delighted in what God has done through Jesus Christ for his people Israel. And like Jethro, we come to the God of Israel, not with a burnt offering, but trusting now in the one sacrifice for sin forever that the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Israel, provided on the cross of Calvary. We come embracing that one offering that was offered for us on the cross of Calvary, and bringing that with us when we come to the God of Israel. And we offer our own bodies as living sacrifices to this God. And when we do so, even though we're not related to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob physically, we, like Jethro, are accepted into the Israel of God. Jethro was the first of millions. If you read chapter 19, verse 4, 19:4, here's a description of Israel that God gives to them at Sinai. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That's what God said to Israel at Mount Sinai. The whole earth is mine, but you will be my treasured possession. You will be a kingdom of priests. You will be a holy nation. That's Israel. Now turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. And 1 Peter is writing to churches composed mainly of Gentiles. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. So in other words, the very words almost that he uses of Israel at Mount Sinai, he now uses of Gentile believers in the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Peter chapter 2. We Gentiles who were far off, who were without hope, and who were without God in the world, we have now come to know and to worship the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the King of Israel, Jesus Christ. And we have been included by him in his grace, in his people, Israel. So you know, there are now more Gentiles in Israel than there are Jews. There are more Gentiles in Israel now than there are Jews. In fact, the sad thing is that the Jewish people, for the most part, have so far rejected the great things that God has done for them. For the most part, so far, they have not entered into that new covenant that Jesus made with them by his blood shed on the cross of Calvary. And he said that the bread and the wine, the Lord's table, is that covenant meal when we celebrate, when we acknowledge that we're part of that new covenant people. And for the most part, the Jewish people are not enjoying all those blessings this morning that God offers to them in Jesus Christ. That was a huge sadness to the Apostle Paul. Huge. You read Romans 9:10-11. His heart is breaking because his own relatives, according to the flesh, will not embrace all the great things that God has done for the people of Israel. And his huge prayer, his hope and his prayer, was that one day the Jewish people would believe and accept the great things that God has done for them through Jesus Christ and become part of his people Israel. Wouldn't it be great if the Jewish people became part of the people of Israel? At the Last Supper, that should be our prayer incidentally as well, along with the Apostle Paul. We should be praying regularly and constantly. And maybe we should make a point of doing this more in our services and at our prayer meetings. Maybe we should make a point of doing this more specifically, of specifically praying that God would bring the Jewish people to enjoy all the blessings that are theirs through their Saviour, Jesus Christ, which we now enjoy, but which most of them, sadly, although an increasing number, are changing their minds, probably more so than at any other time in history. There are probably more Jewish people coming to know Jesus as their Messiah today than in any other time in history. And we should pray that that will be that will be the case. At the Last Supper, Jesus reminded his disciples of the new covenant that the prophet Jeremiah said that God would establish. And he said that that covenant is going to be inaugurated by my sacrifice on the cross. And he gave them bread and he gave them wine. And he said, this is a covenant meal when we sit down together. And I remind you of the new covenant. You take this bread and you take this wine. The cup is the cup of the covenant. And you eat it in my presence and drink it in my presence. The new covenant was made with the Jewish people. It actually says in Jeremiah, God will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Can we Gentiles sit down at this table? Can we eat this bread? Can we drink this cup of the new covenant in the presence of God? Yes, we can. By the grace of God. If you hear of the great things that God has done for Israel, if you believe, if you rejoice like Jethro, if you come to God, trusting in that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be welcomed into the Israel of God, into the people of God. And that's what we are this morning. Thanks be unto God. Let us pray. You who once were far off have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. We do thank you for your grace, Father, to us poor sinners, and not just sinners, but Gentile sinners at that. Thank you that throughout the centuries your purpose has always been that one day we should come to know you, the God of Israel, and know Jesus, the King of Israel, and become your people. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.